The following podcast is a Super Network production and spin-off of the King Zone podcast with the King Zone's Book Club podcast, hosted by Super Marcy.
We know what goes on in these parts near Jerusalem's lot.
And Stephen T. Boltz.
I love this stuff, this world building that he does with literally one sentence.
It contains adult themes.
Must either be mad or run the risk of becoming so.
Coarse language.
There are huge rats in the wall.
And potential spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
Prepare to take a deep dive into the literary works of Stephen King with us. Enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the King Zones Book Club podcast, the podcast where we talk about the literary works of one Stephen King, a spun-off from The King Zone, where the discussion is on adaptations. I am your host, Super Marcy, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Stephen T. Boltz. Hello, how are you today?
Hello, Marcy, I'm doing all right today.
Doing well. We are here to talk about two short stories from Stephen King that have a very green and grassy theme. Is the grass always greener on the other side, or is it not? It's Stephen King. It is not.
It's usually bloodier on the other side.
It is so much bloodier on the other side. We, of course, will be discussing the short stories of The Lawnmower Man and Weeds, otherwise known as The Lonesome Death of Jordy Verrill.
Yes, a surprise that was based on a short story.
Yes, I actually had no idea, considering it's in Creepshow.
Back in high school, everything was in Creepshow. And none of those stories, many of them, of the five, they were written exclusively. They were written for the movie. But two of them, The Lonesome Death of Jordy Verrill and The Crate, were actually King short stories that weren't collected in like Night Shift or Skeleton Crew or anything like that. So
very, very interesting. And this, for me, as we go into this episode, I had not read Weeds, but I had previously read The Lawnmower Man. Shall we get into The Lawnmower Man? Steve, you're the information guy. Give us the deets on some Lawnmower Man.
Details, yes. I love the details. As you know, The Lawnmower Man, of course, yeah, was collected in Night Shift in 1978. Bunch of great, 20 great short stories there. But its first appearance was in the May 1975 issue of Cavalier. Ooh. The Gentleman's Magazine.
The Gentleman's Magazine.
Yes. And I've got to say, Marcy, too, the connection between these stories, as you pointed out, is they're both very green, Lawnmower Man and Weeds. They share another connection. They were both adapted in comic book form.
Yes, I actually did see some panels from The Lawnmower Man.
Yes.
And that is totally how I pictured it being, which just was like, whoa.
Exactly, right? This gargantuan guy. Marvel's Bizarre Adventures, number 29, from December of 1981. The story was adapted by Walter Simonson. We can talk a little bit about that. You've seen some of the panels. I've read the whole business.
Yes, I actually would like to see the whole thing. But from the panels I saw, I'm like, this is exactly how I pictured this story, which was so mind-blowing. Like, what? I need to look at the whole thing. For sure.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the story. Give a little synopsis here.
Yes. Well,
for those who've only seen the movie.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with it, really. Let's be fair. Unlike the movie version, this one just really focuses on a man. And now I can't remember his name, even though I read the story like this morning.
Harold Parkett.
Harold Parkett, thank you. Harold Parkett is very much loving of his lawns. And after a very bad accident with the lawnmower, and I believe it was the pet of the family.
The neighbor's cat.
The neighbor's cat. There's an accident. Lots of blood, I'm sure. And he doesn't really want to do the lawns himself. He gets rid of his lawnmower. But then he hires somebody quite intriguing to take care of the grass. And as he finds out, it comes with a terrible sacrifice.
What I found interesting about Harold Parkett is, yes, he was very proud of his lawns as long as somebody else was mowing it.
Yes.
He right? He always hired the kid down the street. He always hired the kid down the street to do it. And once the, you know, family cat, the neighbor's cat thing happened, it just didn't, the kid went off to college, something, right? And he just couldn't be bothered. I think there's a moral there. Somewhere, if you dig deep enough.
Yes.
You'll find it. But then he sees this notice in the paper for lawns mowed, gives this guy a call. And who shows up but this 300-pound fella, with definitely a fella, with green teeth and just goes to town, basically.
He does. He really goes to town on that lawn. He's got the lawnmower. He's on the ground naked, eating the grass.
Going behind the lawnmower, which moves by itself.
Does.
And eating up the grass. Now, here's my first problem with this story, Marcy. Problem. See. Okay. So we come to learn that what's going on here is the devil is franchising. Okay.
Yes.
Has started up a lawn mowing business. Apparently, and is you know, sending people out. Now, the lawnmower man at one time uses the phrase "by Circe," right? He says, "Healthy soil, that's what you got here, by Circe." That's what I always say. Circe was known for turning people into animals in Greek mythology. Like, that was her bag. That's what she did. I don't see the connection here with that. Two different mythologies, Christian and Greek.
Yes.
But what's the end game here? Because Harold Parkett ends up, and we haven't even gotten to my problem, by the way. I'll circle back around. I know I'm being a little.
Well, let's get to the rest of the synopsis, because he gets the lawnmower man is mowing the lawn with, I don't know, telekinesis or something with his lawnmower. I don't know.
It's just going by itself. And here's my problem. It doesn't have a catcher on the back. Like, there's nothing to actually catch the grass. The devil's franchising has a lawnmower that mows by itself, but no bag to catch the grass. Like, we've got this guy, like, I'm wondering, is that part of the deal? I don't understand the guy, apart from just being weird and gross and
right
base.
Like, is he meant to be the bag catcher? But then that doesn't make sense, because the grass is going everywhere. He has to sit there all day to eat all the offcuts. Like, he could just have the catcher and then eat the grass if he needed
and
to
just
eat it
at home when he pleases. You know, I don't understand. But yes, continuing with the synopsis, Harold Parkett, he lets the guy go mow the lawn, goes out for a little nap. Here's this god-awful noise, which turns out to be this lawnmower. So the devil apparently can't even afford really good equipment.
No.
Because of the noise this thing is making. Goes out, finds this dude crawling around behind the mower, moving by itself, by whatever
means necessary.
Exactly. And then it catches, what is it, a woodchuck? A gopher? Something?
I can't remember. There's something there.
It runs over this small animal. Lawnmower man veers off, eats the remains of the small animal, because
why not?
Stephen King. And then he demands a sacrifice from Harold. Now, again, Harold's freaked out. Had Harold not been freaked out, would, you know, $5 have been enough? Or, like, well, I don't understand the business model here, the devil's business model.
I don't either. Like, are you supposed to say, okay, mow my lawn, weird lawnmower and weird man, but here, you have to kill me to have nice lawns? Like,
what? Yeah. In the end, what, you know, and he was talking about a sacrifice. So maybe he was just going to take the pinky finger over the bird bath. But he only seemed to want the sacrifice after Harold freaked out. So, yeah, confusing. Slightly. I guess what it comes down to is you don't want to say it's a light story, but it's not one of the deeper ones like The Woman in the Room or something like this. It's just, look, it's a fun little story. But I don't think that excuses just being weird for the sake of weird.
It really kind of feels weird for the sake of weird. And it is like an easy read because it is short and it's very bizarre. You sit there going, what the bloody hell is this?
It's like something you'd see on Night Gallery back in the 70s. Like, it wouldn't be a full episode. Night Gallery used to have these little sort of shorter stories wedged in there if the full story wasn't long enough. And this just feels like one of those, like it's a gag story.
It does. It's so bizarre. Like you said, there could be a bit of a moral in there, like maybe you should just mow your own bloody grass. I don't know. Although as I'm reading the story, I'm outside and I'm looking at my grass thinking, this is getting too long. My dog doesn't even want to go wee in there. I don't want some weird 300-pound green-teethed man at my door because I am not capable of mowing my lawn.
Exactly. I guess you make your bed, I guess, is the moral here. I don't know. Weird story. Not one of my favorites. Not one of the best necessarily in Night Shift. Kind of a, I don't know, out of five, what do you want to give this even?
As a story, yeah, out of five, I'd probably be more towards the middle because I just think it's so bizarre that doesn't make sense. But having read it a couple of times, it still intrigues me. I think more in a way like, Mr. King, sir, dearest King,
what were
you thinking? What's your thought process? Like,
that's it. What was the impetus for this? What?
It just confuses me more than anything. As we are going to take this journey and I'll be reading and discovering a lot more short stories that I haven't read before, I think in the scope of things, I probably will be very confused, but I don't know if I will be as confused as this one because it's just there.
Yeah.
It's just there.
There it was. Exactly. Yeah. Right. I have to give it like a 2.5.
I would say, 2.5 out of 5 would be, I think, a fair rating on the scale. It's just, it's so
leaning
weird.
Towards 2.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, I think it's fairly decently written for King. But again, it's just so confusing. And then at the same time, I'm like, do I really want to go mow my lawn? Or is my cat going to run outside when I do it? Now I don't. I'm going to live in the...
Well, see, this is the horror that he's instilled in you now. This was exactly the point. Let's just back up for a second. Fairly well written for King. What are we talking about there? What are we saying?
I mean, fairly well written. I mean, it's... In the scope of what I've read of Stephen King, it is, you can read it and understand it is where I'm going.
Okay, like, that's your baseline. That's your baseline. Okay.
It could be so much worse is what I was trying to get at. Like, he's a competent writer, obviously.
I've backed you into a corner. I'm sorry. I'll let you out. I'll step back. I've found that this is actually, I'm going to hate myself for saying this, and many, many others are going to jump on that bandwagon as well, but it's actually fairly lazy because Harold Parkett doesn't seem to be a man who cares much about anything. He seems when he talks about his wife and his daughter, it's always in a derisive sort of tone. Not much affection there for his wife. He's always talking about his daughter, like parading these guys through the house. There just doesn't seem to be. I think it's one of those things where he's creating a character that we can't really get on side with.
Right.
So we're okay with when he dies in the end. We want to see it, but that we go, maybe it's not lazy King. Maybe that was exactly the point.
That he was just like, you know what, maybe I'm not being lazy. I'm sitting here, Mr. Stephen King, typing on my typewriter. This character, something bad's going to happen to him. Maybe you might think, the lawnmower man was right. He should have just sacrificed him to start with. Who knows? So the lawnmower man, it is a bizarre story about grass. And my takeaway from this, honestly, I would like to just say, like, ask Stephen King, mate, what is up with the grass? Like, why are you so obsessed with grass? Do you find it scary? Do you not like green?
There seemed to be a period there with these two stories. It was like, what's going on, Steve, with the grass? What's going on?
Yeah, that's my takeaway from The Lawnmower Man.
All right, very good. Which is a great lead-in to the next story,
yeah.
Weeds.
weeds. Now, when we talk about weeds, we're not talking about marijuana weeds. We're not talking about the weeds that you pull out of your backyard before you mow the lawn. This is the weeds from outer space.
Space weeds.
Space weeds. This short story, as you mentioned, was not collected.
No. This was published originally in also Cavalier, 1976, May 1976 issue of Cavalier was the first appearance. And as yet uncollected in a King compendium. Yeah, which I don't understand why. I mean, it's no better or worse than the Lawnmower Man.
I probably enjoyed Weeds slightly more because I don't know. It's just very bizarre. And
Weeds is bizarre. Weeds is kind of this is going to sound weird too. Weeds is kind of sweet, you know. Like my first contact with this story was not even through the movie.
Oh.
But through the comic book.
Oh.
The adaptation. Yeah. I was like 11 years old or something. Looking through the books in the bookstore. Because that was my nerdvana at the time.
Yeah.
And mine too. Yeah, found this comic book and just flipping through this and just being blown away by I wasn't even huge into comic books. So at the time I didn't know Bernie Wrightson from anyone, right?
Mm.
And found this story with you know, among Father's Day, the crate, Something to Tide You Over, which is a beautiful story, and They're Creeping Up on You, was The Lonesome Death of Geordie Verrill. You know?
Yeah.
And a fantastic story about just about this lunkhead, he calls himself, this simple man, I think you could say, a simple man in the wilds of Maine. I think in Weeds, it's New Hampshire, but the comic and in the movie, it's Maine. A meteor crashes down on his land. He thinks he's going to get rich off of it, but this stuff oozes out of it, and basically it's like a super fertilizer, and grass starts growing everywhere, including on poor Geordie.
Yes. What I like actually in the story is how it kind of describes there's going to be like the fireworks and Geordie always goes and sees them, but this time he doesn't because the meteor thing crashes and he looks at this, and in the background he's hearing the fireworks as this happens, and then he kind of touches it, I think, and he gets the
He splits it open. Yeah. He goes and gets a bucket of water.
Yes. He grabs a mop.
Splits it open. he had touched it and gets blisters on his fingers. So while the bucket's filling up there, he's sucking on his fingers because they hurt. Mm-hmm. No good, you know. Mm. There's a scene, I don't know if it was never shot or just simply deleted from the movie, where the bucket has a hole in it. So Geordie's standing there sucking on his fingers and the water is just pouring out of the bucket. That sums up Geordie Verrill.
Yeah.
That just sums him up.
Right? It does. He would have been fine, actually, if he just left it alone without any water, because as we find out as this continues, the water or fluids is what makes this thrive.
Surely.
And Geordie, as the story progresses, he's got the blisters, but then he realizes he's touched his face and he starts getting a bit worried about what he's doing. He's sort of, I gotta go lie down, go to bed, wakes up like, I'm a green tree person now.
What I really liked about this short story, and I know we don't necessarily want to talk about the movie, but I'll just go to the comic because it is the written word.
Exactly.
Geordie has sort of, you don't want to say visions, but he goes into his mind and imagines things. Like he imagines taking this meteor up to the college. You know, and they offer him $50 for it. And what? He's like, no, Anita Verrill didn't raise no idiots. No less than 200, right? All he wants is $200 for his little meter, right? The actor there shows up in some other of his imaginings. He imagines, in the comic at any rate, he imagines going to the bank and paying off his loan. When it gets worse, he imagines going to the doctor, and the doctor wants to amputate his fingers. These characters are all all played by the same actor. It's a guy named Bingo O'Malley. And just before Geordi, you know, dives into the bathtub to sort of ease the itching, his father appears to him in his bathroom mirror. And it's Bingo O'Malley. Now, what I loved about the actually reading the short story was how this was handled. Geordi's connection to his father is amazing. Geordi consistently, he keeps thinking about his father in this story and what his father would do. And that's not prevalent in the film when that comes, you know, when it comes down to it. But the fact that Bingo O'Malley plays his father, it sort of keeps that subtext there, which I really like. I really, really like that.
Yeah.
You know, it gave me a new appreciation for what Romero did with that story. But having his father be, a guiding force for him in this story was really something. And it's what makes Geordi Barrel even more tragic, you know, because like I said, he's kind of sweet. He's kind of, he fixes cars and he sells wood. He's not a moneyed man, and he's never going to be because he doesn't have the means. He doesn't have the, I guess, mental capacity.
He's self aware that of who he is, essentially, and you find that out. But you kind of, as you start reading it, you do kind of like Geordi Verrill. He's a non-threatening kind of person, but as you read the word, you're like, dude, don't do this. Why are you going to have a bar? Please. Yeah. I know it itches, but dude, you're going to be a tree when you wake up. It's like, just don't do it, dude. Don't do it.
Yeah. Come on, man. You know, and that's what's different about this story, because you desperately don't want to see this happen to him. And you know it's going to. And, you know, there's no stopping this train from hitting the mountain, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's a key difference, because you actually kind of care for Geordi Verrill, where in the previous story, I couldn't give two shits about, what's his name, Harold? Yeah. I'm like, dude, fine. Mow your fucking grass.
Take care of yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah, perhaps they should, you know, I don't know, maybe Geordi and the Lawnmower Man should have got together at some point. Can you know, I don't know that it could have helped Geordi, because he still is a giant tree person.
Yeah,
you know,
he could have trimmed the hedges.
Please tell me that's not a metaphor.
It really wasn't. I was actually picturing like him trying to just cut all the grass off him so he could see.
Just one other thing here I wanted to mention is, and I would have never got this as a kid either, looking at the comic, but Bernie Wrightson, of course, created Swamp Thing. And to be able to illustrate Geordi Verrill as well, another giant plant life person, I thought was pretty cool.
I did have like images of Swamp Thing in my mind as I was reading this.
Oh, there you go.
And I was thinking, I don't know why, but this is what I'm kind of thinking, but there you go. Overall, I think that I preferred this story to The Lawnmower Man.
Yeah.
I think it's actually well written, and it develops at a good pace as far as a short story goes. And I wasn't left kind of thinking, why? It's more like, Geordi, don't do this. Oh, what are you doing?
Yeah. Well, there was no why. There was no why. This came down from the heavens. This is another one we talked about with Jerusalem's Lot being inspired by H.P. Lovecraft. This is another one inspired by H.P. Lovecraft, The Color Out of Space.
The Color Out of Space, which I was also thinking about. It is the green out of space.
a very specific color. You've got that going on. I think it's just a much better story. Like, if you're going to compare apples to oranges, I think it is. It's a much better story. I enjoyed reading this one again because I haven't seen it in years, but I enjoyed reading this one again. I thought this was fun.
Yeah, this was a first time that I'd read it, so I read it twice in prep to discuss it, and I actually really liked it. And because I have seen Creepshow, so I'm familiar with that short segment, which I really like. I will say I did laugh because the short story does say media shit. And that is the most famous line from Creepshow, seriously. Media and the way shit.
Stephen Love King it. As Geordi Verrill delivering that line. Yeah, that's always, that one always great. Gets a laugh.
I can't, like, I did pick picture Stephen King as Geordie Verrill because of that.
Oh, you but, can't not. You
yeah,
can't
but
not.
Everything my, else, I had my own views, but Geordie Verrill was still Stephen King. Whereas in my mind, it wasn't the short story playing out. It was just this whole new thing in my head, but he was Geordie Verrill.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's kind of perfect. But I'm actually thrilled that you suggested this double to for me to reread Lawnmower Man, but to discover and read Weeds as well. Mm. So yeah, very interesting. And they both do, because of those weird grass green themes, they actually go really well together as kind of a double.
Yeah.
And you potentially could find, I guess, the Dollar Baby short of the Lawnmower Man, because that is accurate to the story. And
like DeLuca's, yeah.
The Lonesome Death of Geordie Verrill would go well also.
Yeah. Nice little double for for an evening. Yeah. No, I give this a 3.5. I thought this was solid.
Yeah, me too, actually. Our scores are on par. Yeah.
There's no arguments here. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, we're not arguing nothing. We're like, yeah, this is fucking yeah, blah blah blah.
Oh, this is gonna be a very convivial podcast, I guess.
Yeah. Well, the point is, like, you know, you're going to reread stories, and for me, it's mostly a discovery with the occasional reread, and it's fascinating because yeah, I love Stephen King. This is a spin-off podcast that I've done. Yet I have in this grand scape of how much he's written, I've read not a lot, and I need to. I've wanted to my whole life, and now I'm like, this is my excuse. I'm doing it. Let's go. Gonna do it. But awesome. Yes,
happy to be on this journey with you, Marcel.
Thank you. This is what friends are for. We go on Stephen King journeys together. But yeah, 3.5, 4 Weeds out of 5. I am not touching any media shit from outer space. Nor will I
always
color it.
Always a good call. Always
yes.
A good call.
And now I'm going to go call the Lawnmower Man because my lawns need doing.
Again, not a metaphor.
I don't want to call the right one, the wrong one. Yeah, it's not a metaphor at all. This ain't After Dark. None of that here. Oh geez. But yeah, one other thing I wanted to add, like when we started like developing this idea for doing this show, I don't think I realized that Weeds was a story from that movie, but also it has not been collected in anything. Like, it's not in a collected work, so that was sort of mind-blowing. Yeah. And
there are a lot of stories that haven't been collected. They've been put out in magazines. Yeah. And they don't get picked up for the collections for one reason or another, you know. Yeah. not that they're better or worse, they're just not chosen.
Yeah. But, this one's definitely very worthy, and I guess when we continue our journey in the next episode, we will have probably another double of connection with our stories. So.
Yeah, we'll hope to find another connection. That's going to get tougher as we go on, of course. But yes. We'll have some interesting connection for the next one. Sure.
We will. Absolutely.
It's going to come down to, you know, oh, it's stories and they both have characters named Bill or something. Yes. Like that. You know, like episode 9, we're just going to be really stretching.
It'll be the loosest connection possible. Kind of thematically maybe they're similar, not necessarily. Yeah. You know, it's based on this or that, but it'll be very interesting. And yeah, I'm really glad to have read Weed, and I think this wraps us up actually for our
I believe so. Not much more to say at this point.
Yeah, so much more to add. I mean if you haven't read Weeds, by all means try track it down and read Weeds. And if you're only familiar with the Lawnmower Man film, absolutely go read the short story, because it is so different. It's got nothing to do with the movie. We all know that deal. But again, while we sort of said, yeah, it's maybe 2.5 out of 5 kind of quality, like, just read it just to see, like, this tension.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. But always a pleasure to discuss Stephen King with my lovely co-host. Thank you kindly once again for taking this journey with me. And of course, people can find the Book Zone podcast along with the King Zone at supermarcy.com, and just look us up on your podcast players because we will be there. And if you want to talk Stephen King with me, I'm always on Twitter at supermarcy and happy to discuss. Absolutely. And Steve, you are not on Twitter because you have a brain.
I had been on Twitter and eventually just didn't care. So yeah, I let that one go.
I've been a Twitter hound for so long. I've perfected it to goodness, and Did I mention Stephen King? My Twitter feed is just full of Stephen King. I'm in heaven. It's great.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's what I should have done, I suppose.
Yeah, they've done this whole thing. But anyway, Stephen King, write a story about the weirdness of Twitter. I would enjoy that. I don't know. But yes, hopefully we will be back in a month or 6 weeks or so with more short stories to take a little deep dive into of Mr. Stephen King. Once again, thank you, Stephen, and thank you to me.
Thank you, Marcy.
See you next time on the Book Club. Super Network is proudly sponsored by Surfshark VPN. Why would you have a VPN in this day and age? Well, a lot of people are quite concerned about tracking and their online privacy, and using a VPN ensures that you are safe and secure online. Surfshark VPN provides a lot of extra added layers of security, as well as ad blocker and a kill switch if your information is ever compromised. A great bonus feature with having Surfshark is something is not available on your streaming service in your country. You just pop on that Surfshark VPN and you can probably find so much more streaming in different countries. If you want to find something like Masters of Horror, it is available on Tubi, so just select the correct country and you'll be able to watch such a great and fantastic show. Surfshark VPN is one of the most reliable and cheapest of the VPNs out there, with up to 81% off offer when you subscribe for 24 months. Please use the link surfshark.deals/supernetwork to take advantage of this amazing deal. You can also find the link in the show notes. Thank you, Surfshark. Surfy shark, do 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 do. Surfy shark, do 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 do. And now back to the show.